Welcome, witches, to episode 30 of Witch Talk. I'm your host, Bree, a Scorpio Sun, Taurus Moon, Pisces Rising, and this is a witch's guide for the week of September 9th to September 15th, 2024. Dun dun dun! It was the week before the lunar eclipse in Pisces. Honestly, guys, I am so interested to see how this plays out for me as a Pisces rising. I know firsthand how crazy and shocking and revealing and powerful eclipses can be, so it happening in my first house makes me very nervous. I don't want any surprises right now. I'm okay. I'm good for right now. But that's next week. We'll get to it when we get to it. This week is strategic. It's philosophical in a way. And it's going to be very flourishing. Those are my three words. Strategic, philosophical, flourishing. And if I had to rate it 1 out of 10, I'd give it an 8 out of 10. It's a pretty good week. We have a Grand Air Trine on the 15th, which is just amazing energy in the midst of eclipse season and everything else that's going on. And Mercury enters its domicile of Virgo. It's definitely a week of big possible opportunities if you approach things with care and awareness and that very meticulous energy that Virgo season always brings. Before I start, a couple of things. Please, 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 no Sabrina Carpenter pun intended, review the pod. A written note on the platform that you listen to this on, like Spotify or Apple, would be nice, but you can also just tap that 5 stars. I've said this before, but I know how many of you tune in every week and the reviews are not reflective of that. So take a second right now, I'll give you a second, to just tap that star. It would be very helpful and I'll love you forever. 2 is that the transit and timing readings are still discounted and it's for a limited time, as in the end of September. Once October 1st hits, they will be back to regular price. So book while you can in terms of those. And then last thing is to prepare yourselves for the 2025 digital astro calendar by me. Those will be coming soon-ish. I'm still deciding if I want to release it in October or November, but it's definitely in the works. And just to read from the 2024 calendar description, this calendar includes a detailed manual and a key explaining all the terms used throughout the calendar. It includes all new and full moons. It includes major planetary configurations, all luminary and planetary ingresses, planetary retrogrades, and a color-coded system for easy understanding. It includes everything I talk about on here and more. So it's nice to have. It will give you insight for how to schedule events, celebrations, flights, weddings, or even hair appointments. It'll help you track your mood and prepare for the week ahead. When you download the file, you can use it as a digital planner and add your own events in between. You can also use it as a monthly screensaver or print it out and hang it up. Whatever floats your boat, dude, I don't care. And right now, the 2024 one is still up there. I actually just had someone buy it last week and I was like, the year is almost over. Why are you buying this? But whatever. But just letting you guys know, the 2025 one is coming, as well as the biggest sale of the year. If you know, you know. If you're an OG, then you know, the annual deep dive reading discount. So that is all, witches. Lots of nice things coming your way end of the year in 2025. I'm getting a lot of requests lately to start a YouTube channel. I don't know if I want to do YouTube or Patreon. I don't know. So if that's something you'd like to see, let me know. Maybe I'll make it happen. But looking at the week ahead, as Mercury enters Virgo on September 9th at 2:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, it finds itself in its domicile and exaltation, a rare double dignity that emphasizes its sharpest, most discerning qualities. Mercury in Virgo is about refining our thoughts, our communication, and daily rituals. Here, intellect is not just a tool or a nice thing to have, but it's actually very sacred. Intellect here is used to carve out clarity and distinction in what is very chaotic and what is very messy. And it's important to remember that Mercury in Virgo is also about the humility of knowing that perfection is an aspiration, not a destination. No one's perfect, maybe except me. But Virgo is ruled by Mercury, right? So this relationship speaks to the important connection between thought and matter. Virgo as an earth sign grounds Mercury's very airy tendencies and brings ideas into the concrete realm of reality. This ingress is an invitation to focus on practical things, so organizing our workspace, improving our health routines, and refining our skill sets. But it's not just about cleaning, okay? Virgo is not just about cleaning. The deeper lesson here really lies in understanding that Mercury's role in Virgo is also to serve, a theme that can manifest in our willingness to offer our expertise and knowledge to other people, right? And just enhancing collective efficiency and well-being. It's a time to be deliberate with our words, ensuring that what we say and how we say it is aligned with truth and usefulness. Virgo and Mercury values accuracy and precision. This is an excellent time to review and revise, whether it's a piece of writing, a project, or even a personal habit. And the key is to embrace this meticulous energy, this Virgo season energy, the back to school season energy, without falling into the trap of overanalysis or harsh self-criticism. Allow Mercury and Virgo to be a guide that initiates a path to improvement for you, but also avoid letting it become a burden that constantly demands perfection at the cost of peace. On the same day in the afternoon at 1:26 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the moon enters Sagittarius, urging us to look beyond our immediate environment and what is familiar to us, to seek out new experiences that expand our understanding of the world. It's a time when our emotional needs are tied to growth and knowledge. Then on September 11th at 10:38 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the moon ingresses into Capricorn. Emotions take on a more serious tone, and we start to consider the emotional investments required to achieve our goals. Something to always keep in mind with Capricorn moons is that that combo can often bring a sense of emotional restraint or isolation, really reminding us that the path to success usually requires sacrifices and a willingness to delay gratification in pursuit of bigger and greater rewards. At 11:41 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same day on September 11th, the sextile between Mercury in Virgo and Mars in Cancer brings together the attention to detail of Mercury with the protective and affectionate energy of Mars. This is a harmonious aspect that is centered around careful planning and thoughtful consideration. It's about being motivated and taking action that is both deliberate and considerate, making sure that what we do is aligned with our values and that they serve to protect and nurture what is most important to us. This is an excellent time to start projects that require both mental clarity and emotional engagement, things like negotiating a deal, planning a family event, or tackling a difficult conversation. This aspect is going to help you approach those kinds of situations with a blend of rationality and empathy. I will say, though, that it's important to be mindful of the potential for overthinking or becoming overly cautious, because even though the sextile between Mercury and Mars is generally supportive, there is a risk of getting stuck in indecision or becoming too protective of your ideas or plans. So really just trust in your ability to think things through, but don't be afraid to take the next step once you've done your due diligence. On September 12th at 6:52 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the square between the Sun in Virgo and Jupiter in Gemini brings a tension where we feel torn between sticking to what we know works and reaching out for something more. It's definitely a challenge because a balance needs to be found, right? In expanding our understanding of things and having new experiences without sacrificing the details that actually matter. In astrology, squares are actually considered the nature of Mars, obviously indicating tension and conflict. But I think this tension could actually be productive in the way in which it wants us to take action and make necessary adjustments. So the Sun-Jupiter square might highlight areas where our plans or beliefs need polishing. What's your Virgo and Gemini ruled houses? These areas can bring opportunities for growth for you, but only if you're willing to do the work. Question your assumptions, test your ideas, and be open to learning from your experiences. Because the Sun in Virgo also stresses the importance of discernment and perception. And Jupiter and Gemini is actually more interested in gathering as much information as possible, pretty much without any regard for quality or consistency. So the square between these two can create a sense of overwhelm or confusion where we're bombarded with too much information and struggle to even make sense of it all. So prioritize what's most important to you and be willing to let go of what doesn't serve you. On September 14th at 3:54 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, when the moon moves into Aquarius, emotions take on a more detached intellectual quality. This ingress encourages us to look at our feelings from a broader perspective and to connect with other people on a more cerebral level. I love that word, cerebral. It's so Aquarius. Aquarius is a sign of the collective and of humanity and large groups of people. So here, the moon often brings a focus on social issues and the ways in which we contribute to our larger community. And then to wrap up the week on September 15th, we have a lovely Grand Air Trine at 1:34 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Venus in Libra trining Jupiter in Gemini, while the moon is in Aquarius, all at 20 degrees. Venus in Libra is the centerpiece of this trine, and in Libra, Venus is in her domicile. She is fully empowered to express her qualities of diplomacy and fairness and beauty and aesthetics. She wants beauty and harmony everywhere and in everything she does, so personal relationships, artsy hobbies, or social connections. Venus in Libra is this cosmic diplomat weaving together different elements into a cohesive, beautiful whole. Jupiter in Gemini forms the first trine, expanding our mind's horizons and opening channels for the free flow of information and ideas. Jupiter, as the great benefic in the sign of the twins, truly loves and revels in variety and versatility. Here, he loves the exchange of ideas and the exploration of new intellectual things and territories. And so this aspect amplifies Venus's desire for connection, really just infusing it with curiosity and a hunger for knowledge. This combination really creates a juicy atmosphere for learning and teaching and all forms of intellectual and social exploration. And then the moon in Aquarius completes the trine. It anchors this airy energy. Aquarius, being ruled by Saturn, brings a sense of responsibility to the broader community. It brings a passion to innovate, an energy to challenge, and the moon here cools the emotional waters. It allows for a more objective perspective on personal and collective issues. So this lunar placement does add a layer of humanitarian concern to the trine, which I love because it encourages us to use our intellectual and social gifts, not just for personal gain, but for the betterment of everyone. The degrees, 20 degrees, of Libra, Gemini, and Aquarius highlight a point in each sign where the energies are mature and ready for integration. The 20th degree usually represents a peak of expression within the sign where the themes of the sign and planet manifest the most clearly. So this is a really significant opportunity to crystallize and manifest the potentials inherent in these placements. I really love this energy because this trine starts an energy where it's a time when ideas can spread like wildfire, catching on quickly in the public consciousness. I wouldn't be surprised if a bunch of TikToks were posted this day, a bunch of discourse, and where diplomatic efforts are more likely to succeed. And it's Libra season, so negotiations and peace treaties and stuff like that, that's all in the air. Those most affected by this trine will be people or nations, countries, with prominent placements at 20 degrees in the air signs, particularly if they have natal planets or angles at these degrees. For them, this trine could unlock a period of important growth, particularly in areas related to communication, relationships, and intellectual activities. It's a moment to seize, to harness this flow of energy and channel it into something lasting and meaningful. The larger picture here is one of integration and balance, of bringing together the best of what the mind, heart, and body or spirit have to offer. And not to get preachy or anything, but this trine doesn't just float above us as an abstract concept. It touches down in our lives as opportunities to connect, to create, and communicate in ways that are both profound and harmonious. It reminds us that true wisdom lies not just in knowing, but in sharing. Not just in thinking, but in feeling. And not just in speaking, but in listening. This is a moment to really embrace the air's gifts of lightness and clarity and the ability to bridge gaps and to use them to build something beautiful. And so with that little gem of wisdom for you all, that concludes this week's episode of Witch Talk. Nice energy, fine energy, B+. Next week, a lot is happening. At least 8 things, not including moon ingresses. Eclipse in Pisces, obviously, but also Libra season and the fall equinox, so that's fun. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. And join me next week as we continue our journey through the cosmos. And until then, keep slaying and stay witchy. Bye!